Our next presentation is Multi-Agency Data on Fatal Child Abuse, an Underutilized Tool by Dr. Michael Durfee. Dr. Durfee is a child psychiatrist at ICANN, LA County. He created the first child death review in 1978 and supported teams in 12 countries. The studies he's conducted include preschool molested children, child STD, including HIV, perinatal substance abuse, child grief, and a network of 124 hospitals developing software to track reports. The website where you can find more about his work is ICANN4Kids.org. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Michael Durfee.
I took a picture of you, for you, without your permission. And I'll keep it. My wife's going to ask me, how did it go? And I'm thinking about the ESPN thing where the people in Congress are making these great speeches. But there's a beautiful group of you out there, and we appreciate it. How many people here are members of HIIT, H-I-I-T? You all ought to look at it. It's an incredible group of people that collect data. And you'll know in your personal life, it's true for me at least, I talk about data and it doesn't generate a whole lot of excitement in the average person, except that you're in a whole lot of trouble without it. We're going to go from sophistication to a fairly simple comment. I don't have the computer or the epidemiological mathematical skills of people before me, but I do know some fairly crude things that are functional. The key word in my presentation is multi-agency. I want to talk a little bit about agencies looking at their own data. It's just that in the world of data, we lie. So if you think about don't smoke and alcohol and STDs and all those things, having the data didn't change people that rapidly. With racial data, I was talking with a public health person who had this bar graph, and it was one was big and the other was small. It was a black-white thing. And he said, you see, they're the same. I said, they're not the same. He says, well, we're not allowed to say that. So we got problems, but we're working on it. This is my hero, my major hero in life, Ambrose Tardieu, French physician. He described child abuse, child sex abuse, and fatal child abuse in 1860. Talked about how this was such wonderful information and people would be so happy and the world was going to change. The next time in the medical literature, an article on child abuse was Henry Kemp, 1962, 102 years later. Now, that's not quite fair. There's some pieces of literature. Most of it consisted of, gee, we've got little kids who have fractures and subdural bleeding that isn't explained. Maybe there's some kind of a metabolic thing. In Henry Kemp's article, he called it the battered child syndrome to be provocative. And when he was talking about pediatricians resisting seeing what was in front of them, he used the word obliterate. That's kind of interesting. They just don't want to see it. So, Index Medicus, medical literature, child abuse is indexed in 1965. Fairly contemporary thing. And then incest, infanticide. We discovered child abuse in those orders. We discovered physical abuse and neglect, and we discovered sexual abuse, cutting edge, and then we discovered infanticide. We discovered people kill their own kids. The fact is, child abuse is an issue in this room. You just don't have this many people without having someone who is abused. So we behave as if that's not true. Now, I formed this first child death review team, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. You get agencies together and you talk about kids who die one kid at a time. It is not a spreadsheet for risk factors. It is the story of that child that makes this system work. It is not something that senior people or senior public health wizards made. It's people on the line or near the line, generally fairly unimportant. So our team is 78, San Diego County 82. In the 90s, the states were forming teams, and there would commonly be two women with an attitude about a kid dead, and they'd form a team, and they might take, in this one county, they took the local DA and made him the chair, because that way the cops would come to the meeting, because they could talk to the DA. At any rate, the teams exploded. By the 90s, we got Canada, Australia. Now we've got at least a dozen nations who have something like this going. Here's the problem at the case level. So you get cop data, you got coroner data, you got health data, you got social service data, you got data from women's shelters for battered women, homeless people, all kinds of things, substance abuse treatment programs, but they're not connected. And it's only when you get those people together that you can figure out what's going on. At our first meeting, nobody wanted to come and talk about dead kids. It makes sense. And my wife runs the program, and she got them to come. What we saw was, oh, wait a minute. If you knew the dead kid, and you knew about a sibling died, and you knew the mom and dad fight, and he beats her, and you knew about the drug abuse and the whatever it is, but none of us knew each other because we're all in our little silos. So what the Child Death Review does, it's not necessarily an honest forum, but it's one of the most honest forums to look at a social issue. You can go to a meeting and say, I can't find my record once, but you don't do it twice because the agencies will just say, come on, we're talking about a dead kid. Find your records, get here and talk to us. So, but it's not to say that one agency data is bad. I'm just saying multi-agency data, and think about what you do for a living, how much you are within one agency or one profession, gathering something, trying to understand why people do something. You can get places, and I'll show you some of where I got fiddling with it. I gave this to my son who's getting an MPH. He said by his other guys thought it was pretty good, lots of lines. If you can see the top is the 17-year-olds and 16, 15, 14, 13, with the oldest on the top. This is during a time in the 1990s when homicide rates were going down. So people were saying, well, it's my program, it's whatever. Nobody knows why they went down because they go back up later on. If the teenagers are coming down, you look at that dark blue line, that's infant homicide. That is just steady. It just doesn't change. And with the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, you flip it over, the younger child is the most common, and it ends up that teenagers and babies are homicide at the same rate. But that doesn't sell newspapers, apparently. Here is some racial data. If you look on the right, you can see that blacks are more apt to be killed in violence, and we know that one. But look down, black babies are more apt to be killed. Some of this is evened out, I think, in recent years. But we don't have a literature on black infant homicide, and that's not a technical problem. It's not a Zeta byte problem. It's just we don't want to do it. Here is the gender splits, and as you look at infants and toddlers, people kill babies somewhat independent of their gender. There's some other things, but you see when you get to adolescents that males were running around killing each other. The most common age for a woman to be a homicide victim is the first year of life, and for all of us, the most common age is the first day of life. Now this thing is kind of wacky. So this is how we ought to be connecting all our data systems. And I love this graph. I didn't make it, but I think it's fun the way this did it. So here you got, this is 6 years, this is a long time ago, California. So this is child abuse and neglect. This is the homicide. This is the death certificates. This is the injury deaths. Okay, so then this is the justice data. Justice and vital stats use the same word, homicide, spelled the same way, very similar definitions, and we don't compare them too much. But then here's what they do with the homicide data bigger than the child abuse and neglect. And then here is the state social service data. And then here are the common cases. Now, that is garbage. That is not just a unique phenomena. How come those data sets don't match? It's because they don't. Because my skill is not the data problems. My skill is the people problems. And that's a part of what we're all doing up here. So that we talk about, we have varied terms. And I'll tell you that we have literature with data that's hidden. CDC does not share data on kids under age 10 with STDs, which is a terrible problem. How many 10-year-old, 12-year-old girls had a baby by someone who was twice their age? There's no literature on that. We lose infant homicide data. LA County, in 2001, our worst year, we had 24 infant homicides. The state said, no, you had 12. The death certificates didn't make it there. What I think happens is infant death corner cases are tough. So the chart goes from a clerk that follows directions to a doctor that doesn't. And when they finally decide, okay, I'll call it a homicide, the chart's left in the doctor's desk or something like that, and the paperwork never goes up. So there's an interesting, very simple quality control. I presented this at a national conference of data people, and they said, that was interesting, and that was the end of it. Everybody went back to sleep. Anyhow, there's SIDS rates go down because we were doing more cases in another way, and there's almost no feedback in the child abuse industry. If I'm an expert in court, if I make a report, I don't get to know much of anything. So this is, where am I in the middle of here? So what we're going to build is, and I'm going to tell you about two software programs. They're really one. I'm going to tell you about a software program for homicide and a software program for hospitals to report their child abuse reports. They're going to be connected, but I got to give it to you in pieces because that's how they are right now. So we're trying to figure out how to make sense out of this. We're going to automate it. People. What I found is if I say to people, I want you to do something for me, I'll give you an iPad. They go, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, I just lied. I made that up. But hey, for an iPad, people will find out how many dead kids they know something about, I guess. So we have a county council who is almost totally irrational about this. And he and this woman down here, Ruby Guillen, who's a child protective service worker, she goes out at night and knocks on doors and talks to families and makes judgments about terrible things that we'd like to know about from a distance. How many of you have ever reported child abuse or domestic violence, rape, or anything? Thank you very much. Public health people don't do that. I tried to get this guy that has our vital stats. I said, here's the age of the mothers, the age of the fathers you should be reporting. And he said, I can't. I said, why? He says, I'm public health. And I think that's kind of, public health nurses are the exception. At any rate, so this county council subpoenas 19 records on his cases. We collect about 19 pieces of information, probably less than that. And when so we're going to follow his thing. He does that, plus he gets on the internet, sees if he can find some things. So here's what we're projecting doing. We'll be meeting in a couple of weeks to see how well this has gone. So for the coroner, traditionally we ask for cause and manner of death and a narrative on the autopsy. But gee whiz, you know, they have photographs and they've got diagrams of things. They've got some more stuff that they do. And we've got to start pulling that in. For law enforcement, we found there's an incredible thing with law enforcement. They don't have a protocol. Now, that's not quite fair, but it's not unfair. You go into the world of medicine, it's history, physical, lab. Heads, eyes, ears, nose, throat. There's a ritual you go through. And you watch someone who's good, I watch this pediatrician. He's going to the baby, and I can see him going, head, eyes, ears, nose, throat, chest, abdomen, and then he stops and play with the baby. But he knows that ritual. For law enforcement, they just hang around for a long time, and then you get good at it. And I'm told you can tell a scumbag from an innocent person after you've done this long enough, and I don't know what I look like. I think I look like a dweeb that wouldn't pull a crime off if I tried, but anyway. So that if we're going down to law enforcement, we got a problem, we got to say, what did this 5-year-old say? Well, the 5-year-old can't testify in court. No, we didn't ask for the 5-year-old to be a witness. The 5-year-old was with the mother when somebody came and beat her to death. The 5-year-old, I don't talk to 5-year-olds. Now we're back to multi-agencies, because there are people who do talk to 5-year-olds, but the people who talk to 5-year-olds don't talk about people killing someone's mother. And so we're learning how to do what the other guy does. Here's the Department of Children and Family Services. Incredible dilemma. They have this terrible job, and they have, worse yet, they have protocols. But the protocols don't necessarily make sense. It's driven by some of the stuff that we're talking about here, about the data that would show something. It goes like this. If you define your terms, this was a study with CDC and a bunch of pediatricians. They say you define your terms, and then we can document the risk factors. We'll use evidence-based treatment, and we'll fix it. And that just isn't going to work that way. We've all got to sit in the same place. How many people have made a house call with anybody, with a fire EMT or a PHN or something like that? I mean, if you walk in someone's house, that's not the same as a clinic or a hospital or something like that. It's just different, and you got to learn how to think on your feet a little bit. I was with this little female cop, and this big guy, she said, I need the belt. He'd whip the kid with the belt. And I was thinking, you can have my belt. But anyway, we got out of there. It was tricky. He gave her the belt, that's what he did. Anyway, so then hospital health, and that's when I'm going to talk to you a little bit more. How much time have I got here?
We have about 3 minutes.
Okay, well then let me just roll on here, because I want to tell you the hospital part, which is the one of the things that's making... Now, we're making this new software draft for hospitals. We're going to ask hospitals, fill out the state report form that's here and here. And you got to do that because the law says so. Having done that, there's almost no medical information. So the decision maker has to make a decision based on all these things that aren't medical. So we made up a medical thing that they can fill out in 30 seconds. Be better if they spent 3 or 4 minutes on it. But we want to make it so cheap that they have no excuse to not do it. So that for the history, they can just write a comment on what was already written. For the physical, they can check a box, say it's normal, or they can just check whether it's the external or internal or a bone and where. And for the lab, they can say what they ordered. And each of those windows opens up other windows so they can do it much more thoughtfully, and they can attach medical information, MRI, stuff like that. And then there's a thing at the bottom to track the case, which will connect this case, makes it multi-agency again, to what the next person did. This shows the drop-down menus. Here's how we had our 126 California hospitals plus one in Reno, Nevada. Because it's maybe not California, but particularly in the winter, that's where people from the notch there, Lake Tahoe, go because the roads are better and the hospital's bigger. You can see hospitals tend to cluster near the beach, which has something to do with nothing. This is some numbers on hospital rates. We figure we're going to do the big hospitals, and that's what we've got. So we have now, with what we have the biggest health-based data system in the world for child abuse, just exponentially. One minute here, and so I've come to some great finale. I've been writing finale notes here to leave you singing the theme song when you walk out. But so we're going to be sharing with other states, and then what I was coming to this part, and it isn't going to work here. But this is going to be on the internet, so maybe someone else will see it. Maybe you'll see it. What we want to do is share what we're doing with other people. We're already doing that with our hospital data system. We want to do it with this homicide data system because we need each other. Nobody has done much of this before. And that is, I will think of what I was going to say at 2 in the morning. I'll send you guys an email.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.